Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, you talk about not taking anything for granted. As you go along and you're maybe closer to the end of your career than the beginning, do you ever find yourself getting nostalgic about, this might be the last time I play in this stadium or anything like that? You know what I'm, sentimental. Yeah. Do you let that creep in?
I'm not much for nostalgia, you know. I'm just pretty focused on what I need to do, and it's this week's felt pretty much like every other week for the last 20 years.
All right, Tom Brady today at Gillette Stadium. Do you agree that this could be Brady's last game, or the next loss is his last game as a New England Patriot?
As a New England Patriot, yes. Yeah, I still think he's going to play somewhere else next year. I think he's done here in the next few weeks.
So I think that's entirely possible. I'm rooting for that. I hope you're right. I want you to be right on that. If I had to guess, and we're all just guessing, right? I think he's done. And this actually occurred to me, over the break. It's Felger back here in the A-hole chair after an extended break. Happy New Year to everyone. It's Felger and Maz from Banner's Kitchen and Tap. This occurred to me during the break. I think he's retiring. I think he's done. I think he's had that in his mind for a while. I think that's sort of been the plan, which he's kind of admitted. He admitted to Jim Gray a couple years ago that he negotiated 2 more years with Giselle, and this is the end of that second year. House is for sale, trainers moving, charities, switched to different people, blah, 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 all this. So I think it's done. I think he's retiring. And he hasn't wanted to admit it because he doesn't want the farewell tour and doesn't want the distraction, which I think is a good thing. I think it's a good team play, not to make it about you, not to make it about retirement. And so he's not going to say it. He's going to carry on like he's going to continue to play. But really, when
he
it's
knows in the back of his mind, it's it.
It's over. It's over. He just doesn't want to say it because he doesn't want to make it about him or about that thing, which I respect. I appreciate that, honestly. Would it help the team if he did? Would it help the team?
Yeah, maybe. And so there's a recent example of this.
If he came out and said today, I didn't want to say it all year for the reasons I just mentioned. I didn't want to be a distraction, but this is going to be my last game. And now everyone knows it, and it becomes...
Well, look at Ray Lewis with the Ravens in 2012. I think that was a factor. That was one of those intangibles that helped that team.
John Elway?
Right.
I think it absolutely helped that team at the end. I don't know if I could give you more examples.
No, I think the Ray Lewis with the Ravens in 2012 is
100%
the most recent example you could use.
100%. If Brady did admit it, well, then would that help the team? I think it would.
Yeah, I think it might.
But I'm not telling you he should or that's his responsibility or anything. I'm just...
Maybe this fraud defense actually gets off his ass like they've been playing terribly the last couple of weeks. They decide, hey, you know what? We got to win this for Tom.
Win it for this guy. I don't know. The point of the farewell tour and getting a gift before every game and making it about you, that's kind of over. Not, totally, but kind of for the most part. You don't have to go through the grind of the farewell tour. Now it's... This is it. I think it'd be a hell of a story if he said it beforehand. He's obviously not going to. He's obviously said just the opposite. He did another Jim Gray interview where he said, I've said all along that I want to keep doing it. So he's keeping that up. And I hope he's telling the truth. I really do. And I hope he's playing because I, again, just personally, I want to be clear about this. It's just a personal feeling. I'm not telling you how to feel. But I personally am ready for the next chapter. As a chronicler of the Patriots, a quasi-fan or, whatever I am, my perch, my seat, I am ready for the next thing. And I'm fascinated to see Bill try and win with another quarterback. I'm fascinated to see Brady try and win with another team. I would be head over heels to see the two come together opposite of each other and play against each other and have that as a running thing for the next year or two.
Oh, you wanted him with the Miami Dolphins. You want him in the division. And I'm with you. That would be the most fascinating of all.
Balls! And coming out of that Sunday loss, I thought, well, here's a silver lining. That If Brady is sitting there looking at the Miami Dolphins saying, you know what, they got something going on over there. You know, Flores has gotten those guys to play. My guy Chad O'Shea is over there. He just outcoached Bill Belichick and his kid on the other side of the ball. Like, Brady would look at Miami.
A million draft picks, a lot of money to spend.
I mean, if that were a potential destination for Brady, don't you come out of that game impressed? Like, they got something going on. They got something going on. Never mind the draft picks and the cap space and what we can do in the here and now. Brian has a clue. And my guy Chad O'Shea, he's coaching up some bum to take us down at home in a game that we need. And so, like, I thought, okay, well, maybe that opens Brady's eyes to Miami or gives him another reason. And then the next day,
They fired Chad O'Shea,
the former Patriots receivers coach who installed the Patriots offense down there and helped will that quarterback, that bum quarterback, to, did they finish 5-11?
Yeah.
To five wins in their, something like five wins in their last, I don't know, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Like 10 game or something. Like,
I think they were 5-4 in their last nine or something like that.
Okay, yeah. So they willed that team to five wins. That's a guy who runs my offense, my playbook, my terminology, and then they fire the, when I say my, Brady's, but they fire that guy.
Yeah.
And hire Chan effing Gailey, who hasn't coached in the league in 3 years. He's 67. He's the same age as Bill, but feels older because he hasn't been in the league for 3 years. Didn't coach in 17, 18, or 19.
Yeah, when I was reading it, I was like, I haven't heard this name in forever. Oh, that's right. He's been out of football.
So I'm like, oh, God, dang
and
it.
And it feels like something to benefit Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Because Gailey had coached Fitzpatrick with the Jets and with Buffalo. So they're bringing Chan Gailey out of the mouth, out of the, you know, off the shuffleboard court in Miami to coach because they want Ryan Fitzpatrick for another year. That move to me makes no sense. Almost to the point where it's like, you can tell me Chan Gailey's a beard for something. Like he's some sort of fake hire because they've got something up their sleeve. And there is sort of a Brady move on the backside of it. Tell me that. Because this Chan Gailey thing makes for a young coach in Brian Flores taking over a program, you know, building from the ground up, to bring in some 67-year-old failed, you know, career
journeyman coach.
Floater journeyman coach. Tell me that's a fake move. Tell me that's some sort of beard fake move because the real, they want to hide their intentions with their real move.
I think that kills your dream of Brady to Miami. Mike. Well, so I really do.
But before they hired Chan Gailey and they just fired Chad O'Shea, I was thinking in my head, oh, maybe Brady hated Chad O'Shea. You know, they obviously worked together here in New England for years and years. And, yep, Chad O'Shea runs the Patriots offense and he runs the Patriots playbook and all that. But Brady, through the years working here, hated the guy. And so Brady made sure Stephen Ross said, you know, if I come down there, you get that O'Shea out of here because I can't stand that guy. Could never stand him in New England. And so I sort of let that thing run around the back of my head. Like, okay, there's my conspiracy theory. And then the next day they hired Chan Gailey. Like, no, wait a minute. That doesn't work. That doesn't suit my agenda. So maybe I'm crossing Miami off my list.
Yeah, I think you have to because, again, with Gailey, it just feels like it's a move that is specific for Ryan Fitzpatrick. It feels to me that they want to be competitive while they draft a quarterback and groom that quarterback over the next couple of years, whether that's Tua or the kid at Oregon.
So for weeks, months, really, I've fought Jim Murray on this. Patriots aren't done. Patriots aren't done. I give him a chance. I give him a chance. I give him a chance. A couple of those bad regular season losses. Maybe it was the KC game. I can't remember. Maybe it was the Houston game. You demanded that Maz and I come around and admit that they're done, sign the paperwork, you know.
It was really after the back-to-back losses of Houston and Kansas City. Now, I had signed the declaration of doneness that night, the loss to the Houston Texans.
Well, proverbially.
Yeah. But
figuratively.
Yeah, figuratively I had signed it in my head, and I had demanded it from the both of you after the loss to Kansas City. It's like, how much more do you need to see? This isn't. They're not going to win the championship this year. But things could have worked out. They could have ended up with the bye. And that has since not happened.
I told you I wasn't going to sign it or come to your side unless they had to play Wild Card Weekend. So they lose to Miami on Sunday. They're now playing Wild Card Weekend in the 2 o'clock hour. I signed the Declaration of Doneness.
The Declaration of Doneness. Thy Declaration of Doneness. Felger and Maz hereby declare the 2019 Patriots and their chance to repeat as Super Bowl champions done, over, kaput. And there it is, signed by Michael Felger, 1-2-20.
Maz is off today and tomorrow. He doesn't get to sign until they're officially done and it's over, and he is taking no chances. But what can I tell you? I think they're done, and I think the era is done. Not the era of winning, because I think Bill's going to stay here for the next 3-plus years. I think you're still going to contend for championships the next 3-plus years. That means you're still going to win this division. You're going to have home games. You're going to have bye dates. I don't know who your quarterback's going to be, even if it's Stidham. I still think the whole thing isn't over, but Brady Belichick is over. For all intents and purposes, it's over. If you win on Saturday, and I think I'm still picking you Saturday. Like, I can't, with a clear conscience, pick the Titans to come in here and win this game. They might, but if you're not done this week, it'll be done the next week. And if you somehow survive two, it'll be done the third week. It's not, you're not going to make it. You're done. You're done. I've signed it away. It's in writing. It's over. So how do you feel about it? How do you feel about the end? Do you agree that it's over? And I felt, you know, like that's when Miami was driving in that, on that last drive in the fourth quarter, I'm sitting there at the pool bar in Lantana, Florida, saying to myself, this is it. They score here. It's it.
Yeah.
I mean,
but while they were driving, Mike, I even tweeted at the time, I'm like, I give this like close to a 70% chance that Fitzpatrick's going to throw a pick.
Well, I was sure he was going to turn it over.
Because that's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's always going to, you know, bite his team in the ass with a bad turnover, and it never happened.
And I'm sitting there saying, if they score, it's all, and I'm tapping the wood, who's, you know.
Three sheets to the wind.
Yeah, not paying attention like I am. You know, huh? Wood, if they score here, it's over. This is it. This is it. If they score, it's over. And I can't believe they freaking scored.
And it came back from the timeout, and it was a dart to that tight end back the end zone. That's where I was like, man, you know, they'll stop him here. He'll throw the pick. Nothing. They come back from the timeout, dart, touchdown. It's like, what, huh?
It's
what?
Over.
Holy crap.
So I thought there was a chance. I mean, I thought Brady was going to retire no matter what happened this year. Win, lose, draw, championship, or first-round exit. He was going to retire, and that decision's already been made. That's what I think. But I thought there was a chance that it would have been over in Miami, meaning he goes to the Super Bowl. And so I'm declaring you done, not because of the team, which isn't great. I'm still not telling you that they're great or necessary championship caliber. It's the road. I just don't think they can win three games to get there. If it was two games to get there and one of them was guaranteed at home with 2 weeks of rest and preparation, then you had a chance. Just like last year. Last year you were 5-11. I'm sorry, 11-5. You were 11-5, and you somehow wormed your way into the bye.
Yeah, they got breaks. They got breaks because the Houston Texans blew a game towards down the stretch against the Philadelphia Eagles.
And it made all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
And if you had somehow wormed your way into a bye this year, well, 13-3 isn't warming. That's 13-3 is 13-3, man. You deserve a bye at 13-3. If you're sitting here at a bye, there's no way I'm signing that. And I don't care if they look like ass, Murray. I don't care if everything happened in that game that happened except on the very last pass, Fitzpatrick threw a pick versus a touchdown. If the Patriots had won that game in any way, shape, or form, I would not have signed your paperwork. I would not have signed it because they would still have a chance with that bye and that road. But now, no, that's it. So, how do you feel about that? If this is the end, how do you feel about it? How do you feel it's going to look? How do you feel it's going to end? And what do you think's coming next? That's what we're talking about. Really, for the next 2 days, the next 2 weeks if they happen to win, the next 3-4 months. Fascinating.
Oh, this offseason's going to be insane.
How's it going to end? What's it going to look like? What's it going to look like on the backside of it? Where are they all going? All of it. That's what we're doing. With your thoughts and free Patriots tickets to give away, all coming your way right after these words.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How's the confidence right now? Is it okay?
How's the confidence in what in particular?
Just moving forward. Just, you guys have confidence that you get the job done Saturday night? You feel good about things?
I think we always feel like we have a great plan. You know, and I feel like we're going to go try to execute the plan best we possibly can. So that's been no different than what it's been all year. I don't think we go into any games going, man, I really hate what we're doing. I really do love what we're doing, trying to attack them the right way and go out there and score enough points to win.
Do you want it to be over, Murray?
If it's going to look like this, yeah, I do. I want Brady to go to another team, see how that looks, and I want to see Belichick with a new quarterback because I think he desperately wants to do that at this point in his career. Because if it's going to look like how this season looked, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, see,
it's just going to get uglier.
I think that's fair. Like, and I'm not telling anyone how to feel. I just want to keep iterating that because it's like a fan experience is sort of a personal experience, and if you as a Patriots fan want Tom Brady to keep – You know, never mind you think he gives you the best chance to win, which is also totally fair, but you just want to ride it out with Brady. Like, I get it. I'm not going to tell you to feel any differently. But that being said, how can you feel good about the way it's just sort of trended the last couple of years, even with the championship last year, in terms of Brady's not here working with young players. He's not investing in the team. He doesn't believe in the team. They're not investing in him, you know. They're not paying him what he should be paid. They're screwing around with him at the contract table. You know, a lot of people think they screw with him on his weapons and purposely not giving him good players. He responds by not showing up in the offseason, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so it all sort of is spiraled down. And so, you know, we play that that conference there, press conference there from Brady. Like, when he talks publicly, he's sort of dead-ass about the team, not really believing in the team, subtle little shots of his – teammates, you know, some of these weeks, it's like
he's gone through this season like it's been a joyless slug. And frankly, for me, like, as still, I don't know, some people don't believe it, but it's still, as a fan of the team, that's how it's felt to me as well. Even though they're in the playoffs again, and it sucks that they're playing wild card weekend, this season overall has felt like a joyless slug.
Is he having any fun?
Of course not.
And has it translated? Like, are you having any fun? And I know you do. I don't want to go too far with that, but it's not like, I don't know. I don't feel Brady is energized to be here. I don't know how necessarily energized they are to have him anymore, and it just doesn't. That's just a feeling from 10,000 feet, and there's a little bit of dysfunction there. When you're, I hate to keep going back to it, but it's true. When your quarterback won't go to off-season passing camps, I'm sorry, that is dysfunctional. You can't get away with that. I don't know. That's not good. And I think that's just a symptom of a bigger thing that they've been sort of decoupling here for the last year plus. And if he's going to hang on for another year and just continue the decoupling, like, I'll come back for another year and they're going to screw with him on the contract and they're not going to give him the proper weapons and he's not going to show up to work with them. And now there's going to be new receivers and young receivers and he doesn't going to believe in them. He's not going to throw to them. No, he's not going to work with them. And then Bill's going to call, you know, not call timeouts and just say, screw it, we're going to go to the locker room. And it's like, you know, what are we doing?
That's not the couple that stays together for the kids. You're doing it for appearance.
Thank
just
you.
Just go your separate ways.
So if that's the way it's going to be, I don't blame anyone, even a Brady loyalist or a Patriots honk, to say, all right, enough. Like, that's not a great thing either. And this is, you know, this is where I think we're at. Big changes. We were just showing on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast a tweet from Mike Giardi. Big changes coming this offseason with the Patriots either way. We've left out Nick Caserio, who's been their chief personnel guy. He's been trying to leave for 2 years.
Yeah.
He's officially up. McDaniels, all but gone, it looks like. Caserio, feels like all but gone. Brady, could be gone. And then they got all these contracts on defense, whether they're up like Kyle Van Noy or overpaid like McCourty or Hightower or some of these other guys. Big changes coming this year. Either way, all right, we're discussing it. Also, free Patriots tickets at 4:30. Be listening to the Tennessee Ticket Weasel. That will be your cue to call. Stu's just going to give it to us when we get to 4:30. Otherwise, your calls here as promised. Derek and Foxborough. Go ahead, Derek.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you guys, since you both don't think the Patriots can go to the Super Bowl, do you think the Saints can go to the Super Bowl? Because they're in the exact same position. They got knocked down to the 3 seed. They have an aging quarterback, and a lot of people, you know, are still picking the Saints, so I don't see why you're writing off the Patriots just because they didn't get the bye.
Okay, well, I think the Saints are better.
Yeah. They've been an overall better team for most of the season. Of the wild card teams,
but I don't love the Saints going to the Super Bowl either.
No, me either. But of the wild card teams, they're the only one I would give a legitimate shot to.
Yeah. And I think they're better than you, but that's not it necessarily. I don't have them in the Super Bowl either. You know, they'll have the first game at home, huge advantage. Then they have to go to Green Bay, and right. I don't even love Green Bay. But, hell, if it's 8 degrees and
they're screwed.
Ice storm,
yeah.
They're a dome team. Right, I mean, and then
their loss to San Francisco a few weeks back absolutely killed them.
And then if they survive that, they have to go to either San Fran or Seattle. No.
Yeah, no.
No, no, no. Nope. Nope. So I if I were in New Orleans, I'd be signing a declaration of doneness for them too. Paul in Mansfield. Go ahead, Paul. What do you got?
Hey guys. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Patriots losing that game. What do you think about the NFL, you know, talking to Kraft or something and saying, hey, you have one or two choices, lose a top draft pick plus other things, or go lose that game and try to get through the bye?
That's a great one, Paul. I mean, what I really want to say is that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But which makes it great. So the Pats had an option after they got caught videotaping in Cincinnati. Lose a first-round pick or tank it against Miami and lose the bye.
I'm not even going to entertain this. I'm not.
Let's entertain it. What would you give up?
Oh, just give up the
pick. I'd lose the game.
Lose
keep the
game.
First round pick.
Yeah, keep the pick.
Keep
you're
the pick.
You're going to need weapons going forward, whether it's for Stidham or whoever.
Okay. Belichick right again.
The pretzel twisting by some people.
That's a great one.
I've listened to some of the calls on shows over the last few days. My God.
That's like, a great
they
one.
They tanked this game on purpose. They want the challenge to play on wild card weekend. Bill's never done it this way. Like, what's wrong with
awesome.
You?
Awesome. Stu, is it time for the Ticket Weasel?
The Tennessee Ticket Weasel!
Popped up the bowl, the old Tennessee Ticket Weasel.
Is that really what a weasel sounds like?
Yeah.
Are weasels nocturnal, or do they go out during the day?
I don't know. Oh, they usually live in nooks, holes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. Let me look that up.
I don't trust those nocturnal animals. I don't trust nocturnal animals or animals that have to sort of burrow or like...
Oh, that's funny. So you wouldn't own a ferret?
Yeah,
ferrets
like...
are adorable.
What do you hide in there? How come you're always creeping around at night?
Weasels are commonly thought to be nocturnal, but evidence indicates they're more... diurnal? In summer than in winter. I don't know that
they're
word.
Bi? Is that what you're saying? So they... That, like, I don't know. Like, why are you always sneaking around at night? You're always creeping around when it's dark.
That's when they steal the tickets.
I don't try.
Yeah. That's why. So they get their little paws on the tickets.
What's the thing about those burrowing animals? Get out here. Let us see you. Why are you always crawling in your hole?
Yeah, Maz, going to ask him the same thing.
Anyway, caller number one, Jimmy. Is that what we want here?
Yes, please.
Caller number one to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. Will score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on Tennessee wild card weekend this Saturday night in what could be Tom Brady's final game as a New England Patriot or his final game in Foxborough. This is courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans double points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. This excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. It's a limited time offer. Good luck on the tickets. Back to your phones right after the update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.
This is your home of the Bruins. It's game day, and Felger and Maz are broadcasting from Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before you pulled that plug, you had the double reverse pass. What goes through your mind when that play comes?
Well, I wanted to see if it looked any better than there, so.
And did Marcus catch it better than Tom did?
He got up quicker than Tom did. I know that.
Meanwhile, here comes this ball-busting prick. As we said earlier, Mike Vrabel. Remember that comment? It was after Tennessee beat the Patriots in the regular season last year. Patriots called this double pass to Tom Brady, where he sort of stumbled, couldn't get back up. Jimmy, he got hurt on that play, right?
He 100% got injured on that play.
So, but he looked 41 at the time, I guess, on that one. He stumbled, couldn't get up, and then Vrabel calls the exact same play in Mariota, you know, and Vrabel can't help but take a shot after the game. So this is, I'll just reset my thought on the Titans. I think you're better than the Titans. I think you should win. You're at home. You're done. You know, you're going to lose one of these weeks, but I wouldn't pick against you this week. I like you this week. But in some respects, the Titans are a tough team, and Vrabel's the reason why. He's not afraid of Brady and Belichick. And that's, I feel like, half the battle with some of these teams.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that tripped up the Chargers last year. I thought the Chargers were going to be a hell of an opponent in that divisional round, and they showed up scared like so many of these teams do. Anthony Lynn, you know, looked like, oh, he's a candidate for Coach of the Year last year. Chargers are a formidable foe. No, that game was essentially over before the first whistle.
So Vrabel's attitude is important. And I know you would say,
in a game like this, it can be infectious.
I just think, you know, coaching matters in games like this. And never mind that I think Vrabel has yet to prove himself as an elite NFL coach. But I think the mindset he has that you need to win, you know, and it turns out, well, like, for example, Sean McVay last year before that Super Bowl game, just the genuflecting at Belichick's feet. And maybe that was just sort of a tell that he wasn't quite ready because it's sort of an attitudinal thing.
You can't go into that game in awe of Bill Belichick. You can feel that way, but you don't present it the way that McVay did before the biggest game you're ever going to coach in your life.
It's like there has to be a competitive thing there, and I think you can trace it to some of the coaches that have had some success against you. Harbaugh, they have the ass, those guys. They're competitive guys, and they have this sort of attitude. Tom Coughlin is a peer of Belichick who coached alongside Belichick or against Belichick and says to Belichick, I'm not afraid of that guy. He was a little assistant when I was, you know, like, and I just think there's some commonality there with some of the teams that have gotten you a few of the times. Not that they get you all the time or anything like that, but in some respects, that's what makes the Titans tough, is that Vrabel ain't afraid of you. In fact, he would like nothing more than to beat you and then rub it in and throw a comment your way because he's a ball-busting prick, that guy. He is. And I think he imparts that to his team. They're not going to be afraid, and they're not going to be playing for second place. Like, you feel some teams come in here just, you know, conceding.
Just happy to be there.
Yeah. Conceding the thing, and I definitely think that's not going to be the case. I also think when they play offensively, not that I'm a huge running game guy, but if it is a weather game, that does travel a little bit better. You know, I give Tennessee more of a chance because they are a physical team that can run the ball. They're not some dome team here, to go back to the Saints and that sort of thing, that they can, that if they want to run the ball, that travels and that can be weather retardant, if you will.
Yeah, and the thing that concerns me too in terms of the secondary and how poorly they've played the last couple of weeks, and especially against Miami, you know, they picked on Stephon Gilmore last year in Nashville with Corey Davis, and it was probably his worst game of the year. Now Gilmore's coming off his worst game of the season, and it feels like, you know, Ryan Tannehill, and they're coming to this game, like you said, not afraid, and they're going to try to test him, even if the weather is bad.
So, even though Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry's the big horse there, the bell cow back. I'm more afraid, and I mentioned this earlier, the things that I'm afraid of with Tennessee, given the way your secondary has looked the last couple of weeks, because you gave up plays to Buffalo now, too. It wasn't just Miami. Buffalo had some big plays on you. Given the way the secondary sort of come back to earth the last couple of weeks, I'm more afraid of the rookie A.J. Brown and Davis, the receivers there. I'm more afraid of Deion Lewis out of the backfield in a pass-catching role. And if the Titans are smart, if Vrabel's smart, he's telling Ryan Tannehill to run every chance that you get, because the running quarterback against the Patriots has had success over the years. And so those are the things I'm more afraid of than Derrick Henry. Deion Lewis catching the ball, those two outside receivers, and Tannehill running. How about Tannehill passing just as a quarterback? Can he come in here and do what Josh Allen? And if Josh Allen and Ryan Fitzpatrick can have success, can Tannehill?
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if we're just basing it on this season, he absolutely can. Now, his historically, Tannehill has been wretched at Gillette Stadium. He's never won here. Hasn't had a lot of career success against the Patriots. So, yeah, you can argue that way. But if we're just looking at it in a vacuum of this season, Tannehill can absolutely recreate what at least what Fitzpatrick just did last week.
So
Tannehill's had an awesome season.
So I think this is a bad draw for you. You should still win, but you know the other teams had a chance. Like if this were Pittsburgh,
oh please, a layup.
Okay, layup. I agree. If this were Oakland, I think they still had a
sniff
of a chance.
Yeah, they had a mathematical chance. Yeah,
layup.
Yep,
layup. Tennessee was the worst draw of those wild card teams. I never thought I'd be handicapping the wild card field. But so be it. You know, this is where you are.
Yeah, and I was with Bedard, too, that if Tennessee squeaked in the way that they did and it ended up being Kansas City at the three, the way it was, you know, lining up to be, I would have given Tennessee a chance to go into Kansas City and beat them.
You bet. Absolutely.
They did it earlier in the season.
Instead, it's you that draw. That draws the Tennessee Titans and Mike freaking Vrabel. Mike Vrabel. All right, so there's your reset on the Titans. We've given away the tickets. Thank you for playing. You can stop calling on those. Is Jones going to have a ticket weasel tonight? I doubt it because we got Bruins action tonight.
Yeah.
So,
and that's it for the ticket giveaways.
That might be the last Patriots. Well, no, it won't be the last Patriots ticket giveaway. The last Brady ticket giveaway. The last time the ticket weasel ever comes out of his hole to give away tickets for a Tom Brady game.
Yeah.
Could very well be. Think of that. Okay. We are discussing all of these things with your calls, but the tickets are away either way, so stop calling on that. We'll get back to you on the Patriots right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelpline. ma.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Mike, what does the phrase Patriot Way mean to you, and do you remember the first time you heard it?
Isn't that the street sign? Isn't that the street the movie theater is on?
So, good thing that Chris Gaspers asked. He laughs at everything.
Oh, he's an easy audience.
He's crazy.
You're not going to tell me.
He's Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
And he's great.
That's why I love having him on Saturday.
He's great. Yeah, that sounded like five questions that have nothing to do with sports. Yeah. Saturday at 12:55. Right. Anyway, so, that's Vrabel. You know, instead of genuflecting and getting on his knees for the Patriot Way, he makes a crack about it.
Yeah, it's about hard work and sacrifice and all the, you know, the cliches you would expect to hear.
He's like, no.
Isn't that where the movie theater is?
No, he's like, that's where you have the miniature golf, right? And there's a whole backstory, too, that he, you know, one of the reasons, I think the reason he didn't end his career in New England and got traded was a throw-in with that Matt Cassel trade. It's because he ragged on the mall during the CBA time. They were up for collective bargaining, and he did an interview with Borges where he said, I don't see these revenues. You know, he made cracks about the mall that they were building at the time and got his ass shipped out of here. So that's just his attitude. That, you know, and I don't think he's at war with the Crafts or at war with Belichick. I think, you know, they still get along and have a lot of respect for each other. They practice against each other in the offseason. They do those joint practices. So I don't think, like, he's at war. But it's just his way to, you know, keep the needle in there. Keep digging at you. It's just the way he is. Ballbuster. And so there's a little layer there behind that mall comment. But that's pretty much it. You know, you ask Sean McVay about the Patriot Way, and he goes on for half an hour. He's got tears.
Oh, gosh. Jeez. Oh, boy. Huh. You know, he acts like it's the Chris Farley show.
Yeah. Exactly. And Vrabel's like, isn't that where the Red Robin is?
Yeah.
But that's just Vrabel. That's Vrabel. And it's part of the reason I think Tennessee has a chance this week. All right, back to your thoughts on everything. Steve in Sturbridge, what do you got?
Hey, listen, guys, I was just thinking, it seems like there's a rift between, you know, Brady and Belichick. However, it doesn't seem to go, you know, that far back. And if Kraft and Belichick were on the same page, then wouldn't Brady be there for the next couple of years?
So, look, I don't think the rift is why it's over. And I don't think the rift is that big. I think they've had ups and downs, and I think it's been worse than it is now. I think they're okay now. Okay, not great, but okay. And
yeah, this is definitely better than it was a couple of years ago, I would think.
Yeah, if Brady were closer to his peak and happier with his contract and whatever, the rift is not why this is ending. It's ending because I think Brady promised Giselle 2 more years 2 years ago, and the time's up. And the Patriots aren't going to recommit to him to, you know, they're not going to make it worth his while to stay beyond that, right? So he told Giselle 2 years ago, that's it. I've negotiated 2 years with her. This is at the end of the 2 years. If the Patriots make it really worth my while and so compelling that I have to stay, then I'll consider it. But the Patriots haven't done that, and that's why it's ending. I don't think the rift has hardly anything to do with it.
Say you think it's retirement. He's not going to another team.
Right. I mean, I think anything could happen. We're all guessing.
Yeah.
No one has any insight.
Right.
So just, I want to, you know, have that qualifier, but if it's 33% to 33% to 34%, and the options are stay here in New England, play somewhere else, or retire, retires at 34%, and the other two are 33. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's what and so I'll just stick with that. And that's why I think he's leaving. I think he's leaving because of circumstances and big picture things and family things and that whole set.
Yeah, if he would walk him with you, it's all for that. It's that the promise that he's made to his family and Giselle and those kind of things. I feel like walking now would be premature, and it hurts the brand. It hurts the TB12 thing and everything he's talked about trying to play to 45.
Does it?
I think so. After this season, yeah, I do. And that's one of the reasons I think he wants to to play to try to get to 45.
Well,
and there's going to be suitors.
Like I said, I hope you're right. Because I think it's a fascinating story. I want him to keep playing. I just want it to be somewhere else. I'm just ready for it to be somewhere else. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if he stays either. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I'm with the likes of it wouldn't be, but I'm with the likes of Gasper and others that feel like that's the last option. Like, I think it's, you know, coin flip between retire, play somewhere else, precipitous drop off, play here. I think it's done here.
But the whole riff thing, if there's any, I think Bill is more eager to win with someone else than Brady is to go win somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, but I don't know if that's a rift thing more other than it is. That's not about Brady. It's about Bill's desire to enhance his legacy in some way, or to have a different challenge or try something new at the end. I think that's what it's about, not necessarily a rift. Jake in Boston, what do you got, Jake?
Last week was worse than Malcolm Butler. I think it was the angriest I was after a game since Bledsoe threw for 93 yards after stage diving at Everclear. Listen, forget the timeouts at the end of the first half. I want to know why Bill adjusted that practice schedule and gave players and staff Christmas off in a must-win game. In some industries, you work over Christmas, but apparently not if you're the 32-year-old king of nepotism, Steven Belichick, who, you know, according to his wife's social media, was at Frozen 2 and opened up presents under the tree, and then pissed away a bye week by putting together a zone defense that anyone who's ever played Madden 19 can figure out. Did he even work at all? And you'd expect the behavior to
Jake,
stop.
I'm going to stop you there. My froze up. You let him go. I thought Belichick, the way he handled the end of the first half, was atrocious. Just atrocious, and I think it's fair to put that give-up on the level of Malcolm Butler in 4th and 2.
It is. I put it up there.
I think it was a terrible over-coaching there. Like, or message sending to Brady or something, whatever. Horrible decision. Horrible. I'm not going to get on him for – they have Christmas off?
They must have. Yeah, I figured they
would. Christmas was Wednesday?
Yeah.
So do they work Tuesday and have Wednesday off? I mean, what's the difference?
They were back at it Thursday. Yeah, so they missed a day.
But they have a day off every day. The CBA, Jake, mandates that they have to have one day off. It's usually Tuesday, but you can move it around if the team is okay with it. You can have Monday off and work Tuesday. You can have Wednesday off and work Tuesday. So
Yeah, I'm not going to hold them not working on Christmas Day again.
And I don't even follow the schedule that closely. I don't know what they did on Christmas or what they didn't do. That's not my second guess with Bill. My second guess with Bill is that he quit at the end of the second quarter with his team taking over the game. And again, just to reset real quick, I mean, people don't realize the offense had scored on their two successive possessions before that. They had scored a field goal to make it 10-3 and then a long touchdown drive to make it 10-10. The defense had stopped Buffalo on each of their last two drives, 4-and-out and 3-and-out. And there's 1:51 on the clock, I think. And
1:47 it was.
When they lined up to punt?
Oh, when Miami, no, they got it at 1:47.
Okay, so what I mean is, yeah. I think Miami lined up to punt at 1:50-something.
Yeah.
With the clock running, maybe that was the third down play. Either way, it was just inside of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You have all three timeouts. Miami's at their 20-flipping yard line, and you don't call a timeout. You don't call a timeout to stop it when they're punting or use any of your timeouts when you then have the ball. You don't have good field position at this point because the guy hit a good punt. But how you don't stop it with them punting from their own 20, when you deferred to begin with to set up that entire double score, that was the whole plan. Your team had taken over the game by then. I'm sorry, they had turned the game. If not taken over, at least turned it back in their favor. Scored on their last two possessions, stuffed the Bills on their last two offensive possessions. They're punting from their 20. You have all three timeouts, and it's just inside of 2 minutes, and you don't use a single timeout. That was atrocious.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it from a Bill Belichick coach team. It's up, that's why. It's up there with 4th-and-2 and Malcolm Butler. And it's what they live for. The hairpin turn, they deferred. They were going to get the ball to start the third quarter. So at least put 3 points on the board. You had the opportunity to do that with a 150, essentially, on the clock with three timeouts. And you could maybe argue, oh, you can't trust Nick Folk with a long field goal. No, you now could because he hit a 47-yarder within the last couple of weeks.
You at least have to try. You have to play. You have to play.
Instead, he tucked his junk, and they all went into the locker room with three timeouts. It's unbelievable.
And possessions were a premium for the Patriots in that game. They couldn't get off the field on defense. That was the story of the game. Not just that your defense gave up points to Ryan Fitzpatrick, the length of those drives, 12-play drives, right. 9-play drives, 13-play drives, your defense couldn't get off the field, which meant...
Didn't they start one at the one?
Your own offensive possessions were at a premium, and Bill took one away at the end of the second quarter. And then they came out at the beginning of the third, run, short pass, punt. That sequence right there is why I think you lost that game. It's why you're playing on Saturday night, and it's why I had to sign the declaration of doneness before, right. And it's why this thing is over. If you still had a bye, I don't care. The team could be exactly the same. If you had a bye, you had a chance to get to the Super Bowl. Now, it's over.
The road's just too tough, and I think that they needed. I think there was much needed rest involved with this team. That they Brady, Edelman, like an extra week off would have really helped their cause here. Now. No, now they're screwed.
Whole thing's over. And we're getting your reaction to it after McCarthy's 90-second update. No commercials. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
At Best Ford of Nashua, our President's Day sale is going on now. Get F-150s with discounts up to 16 grand off MSRP. You heard right. Not 10 or 12 grand. We're talking 16 grand off MSRP. Looking for a Ford certified pre-owned truck or SUV? Nobody sells more Ford Blue Advantage vehicles in New England than Best Ford. We're number one for a reason. Remember, the best will sell first. See us today at TheBestFord.com.
Go to www.bestfording.com/special event disclosures for full details.